Let's continue our talks from John by reading John chapter 15, verses 18 through 27. In this last section of John 15, the Lord Jesus informs his disciples that they will be hated by the world. But in spite of this hate, a disciple of Christ, then and today, is to be a faithful witness. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Let's look at some background notes, first of all, that will help us understand the teaching of this section of John chapter 15. In verses 18 and 19, the Lord used the word world 6 times. Let's read those verses once again. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, what is meant by this word world that's used 6 times in 2 verses? In this context, it's not the material world that God created. It's the world system that opposes God. It is the satanic system of values and attitudes that is contrary to the biblical system of values and attitudes. This is the world system that John says is characterized by the lust or strong sinful desire of the flesh, by the lust or strong sinful desire of the eyes, and by the pride of life or vanity. I'm reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. This then is the world that the Lord is speaking of here in John 15, 18 and 19. The world system that is opposed to God and His Word. In verse 22, the Lord said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. And in verse 24, we read, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. The Lord did not mean by this that they would have been sinless. No. But if the Lord had not come and spoken to them and had not done the miracles before them, they would not have committed this great sin of rejecting the Messiah who had come specifically to them and done these miracles before them. Other sins were as nothing in comparison with this great sin of rejecting Christ, rejecting him after hearing his claims and seeing his miracles, greater miracles than any prophet of the Old Testament had ever done. Verse 24. Greater exposure to these things meant greater sin. They had no excuse. Verse 22. Now, one more background note. In verse 25, we read, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. This is specifically a quote from one of the Messianic Psalms, namely Psalm 69 and verse 4. Thus, the mention of the law here refers to the whole Old Testament in general and not just the Pentateuch or the first 5 books of the Bible. The point here in verse 25 is that although these Jews who had rejected Christ were guilty of great sin and were without excuse, God's purpose was being accomplished. God's sovereign plan of redemption was being carried out, even though those who rejected Christ, in fulfillment of Scripture, were fully responsible for their sin of rejecting Christ. Well, so much for background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this section of John chapter 15. Doctrinal point number one, the world hates Christ and therefore it hates Christians. The world hates Christ and therefore it hates Christians. When the Lord said in verse 18, if the world hates you, it is not a question of maybe the world will hate you. No, the world will hate you. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13 we read, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Why does the world hate Christians? Because the world hates Christ. The world system is opposed to Christ. Oh, the world may speak of Christ as a great human teacher and a great moral leader. But when it comes to the claims of Christ to be God and to be the judge of all mankind, the world hates Christ. The world hates Christ and therefore it hates Christians. Before we became Christians, the world did not hate us, because we were part of this world system. First part of verse 19, once again, if you were of the world would love its own. But when we became Christians, we were transformed and transferred out of this world system. Last part of verse 19, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world hates us because we are no longer part of it. We are now identified with Christ. Have you ever experienced the hate of this world because you're a Christian? I remember a few years ago sitting next to this person on a plane. We both had tennis rackets, and so we got into a very friendly conversation about the finer points of the game of tennis. It was a great conversation. And then I was able to work the conversation around to the subject of Christ and the Christian faith. The atmosphere immediately changed. And I remember that person saying to me, you don't really believe all that stuff in the Bible about Christ, do you? And when I said yes, from that point on, I would have to say I experienced the hate of this world. Even though I tried my hardest to be friendly and show the love of Christ, but because I was identified with Christ, I was also the target of this world's hate. The world hates Christ, and therefore it hates Christians. Doctrinal point number two. The world hates Christ, and therefore it hates God. The world hates Christ, and therefore it hates God. Verses 23 and 24, once again. The Lord said, he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. It's impossible to love God and reject Christ. Christ and God go together. Christ is God. Thus, the world system that opposes Christ and hates Christ opposes God and hates God. The religious world claims to love God and honor God. But when the religious world rejects the teachings of Christ, that he is the only way of salvation, and that there is a heaven, and that there is a hell, and that there is eternal punishment, and that most people are on the broad road that leads to destruction, when the religious world rejects this teaching, they are showing their disdain and contempt of Christ. They are showing their hate of Christ, and thus their hate of God's Son and God's way of salvation. They may say they love God, but it's not the God of the Bible. It's a God that's made in their own image. The religious world is part of this world system that is opposed to the claims of Christ. The world hates Christ, and therefore it hates God. Practical application. Practical application number one. Be concerned if the world loves you. Be concerned if the world loves you. In verse 20, the Lord said, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. The point here is not that we should try to get ourselves persecuted and try to be hated by this world. No, the point here is that if we openly identify with Christ and share his word, which we should do, then we will be hated and persecuted by this world. In 2 Timothy 3, in verse 12, we read, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Notice, it's not may suffer persecution, but will suffer persecution. Be concerned if the world loves you. Now notice in verse 20 that it is assumed that we will be sharing the words of Christ and not hiding our faith. The last part of verse 20, "If they kept my words, they will keep yours also." It's great to find an unbeliever who is open to hearing what the Bible has to say. That's evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of that person. Again, you don't try to get yourself hated and persecuted by this world, but it will happen if your life and lifestyle is in line with the Word of God. It may not be physical persecution. It may be mocking or the cold shoulder, but it will come. Yes, there are folks out there in this world who are being probed by the Holy Spirit. You may find them open, but the world system is opposed to Christ. So be concerned if the world loves you. Practical application number two. Remember that you can't have one without the other. Remember that you can't have one without the other. What one can't you have without the other? We're talking about the effective witness mentioned in verses 26 and 27. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." The Holy Spirit would come at Pentecost and help the disciples remember everything that the Lord had said and done throughout his public ministry. They had been with him since the beginning of his public ministry, verse 27. Now notice the Holy Spirit would witness or testify of Christ, verse 26. "And they themselves would witness or testify of Christ," verse 27. The same word is used in both verses. Now, how does the Holy Spirit testify of Christ? Not only through the written word, but through us. How do we have an effective testimony for Christ? Not only by being open channels for the Holy Spirit to use, but we take advantage of opportunities. We build relationships with people. We memorize scripture. We study how to defend the faith. We make ourselves responsible to witness. You can't have one without the other. We can't have an effective witness or testimony apart from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can't have an effective witness or testimony apart from us, taking on the work and responsibility of being an effective witness. Remember, you can't have one without the other.